It seems that the time together, the atmosphere has been full. We are enjoying that full experience of a life consecrated to the Lord. This hymn has awakened all these this inner feelings when we sing them that way, sing it this way. First, we sang the first hymn that we sang. We see that the seed of the kingdom has been planted in us. The seed of the kingdom has been planted in our heart, and this is our hope. And the seed that the seed may grow until our entire being is full of glory. Then the glory that is to come, it says that glory, glory, Christ will come again. This glory that will come is going to meet up with the glory that has been manifested from our inner being. What hope do we have? It's a precious hope. But it seems that for us to continue allowing the seed that was planted in us, that the seed may grow. For that to happen, we may live a consecrated life that his love may constrain us. It's constrained us even just to take this way. I love the Lord because of his constraining love. Sometimes you love, but you really don't love. You love. If you love the Lord, if you love his appearing, he's constraining us to walk in the way of loving him alone, so that he may grow in us until the seed has fully developed. How precious this word to sing these two hymns this way. To live consecrated to the Lord. To be those that are waiting for his return, for which we need to be ready, getting ourselves ready. I'm so grateful that the Lord has introduced us to this feeling, this sensation of his return, this awareness of his return. Sometimes when I heard this hymn from Brother Nee, that he says his steps I can hear, this kind of hymn moved me to tears. In this way, in this way that we must be getting ourselves ready for his return, loving him, loving his appearing. Those two things are inseparable. They're two sides of the same thing. But tonight, we are going to get more help get ourselves ready for his return. The first help that we received was that we are getting ourselves ready for the Lord's return by loving his appearing, and not love the world. This age. The second help that we received in the second message was that we may get ourselves ready for the Lord by growing in the divine life, unto maturity. He is waiting to meet with a light a With a bride that is mature. He will not marry a child or an adolescent. He will marry that we may advance, that we may grow into maturity, that we may, all of us that are here today, regardless of our age, we may pursue forward to maturity. So tonight, we are going to cover how to prepare ourselves protected by being faithful and a prudent slave. I noticed that these four messages titles start the same, by making ourselves ready, by, or it will be by or by through or by doing, by being a faithful and a prudent slave. Dear saints, brothers and sisters, may we have this solemn understanding that this is the way to be ready for the Lord's return. It might be that there might be some that you may not like to hear this word slave. Yes, we're talking about a word slave. God's word is clear. He clearly states the word slave. Paul opens the Gospel of Romans. He presented himself as Paul, the great apostle Paul. He didn't say that. He said, Paul, apostle of Christ Jesus. Then he says, the apostle called and separated for the gospel. First, he considered himself a slave. And of course, we're slaves because he bought us with a great price. The great price of his own blood. What a redeemer. He is our redeemer, a judicial redeemer. He met all the legal requirements that he may buy us back to God. This is how wonderful is this. We shouldn't be surprised that we are his slaves. We have a slave Osmar, a slave Felix, a slave Luis, and we can say here is a slave, and then fill in the blank of the name of the person. Are you faithful and prudent? So I'm asking you, are you faithful and prudent? This is a question that you might be the Lord may have already started to dig in through our inner being. We're going to see from Matthew 24 that there are two types of slaves. We're going to be facing. Which one are we? A faithful and prudent one? Or are we the evil and negligent slave? Of course, everybody right now will say, I am going to be a faithful and prudent slave. And I want to say amen. We do need to have that expectation from us. We might be these type of slaves, faithful and prudent. For what? That is the next question. We're going to leave that question on the shelf, and then we're going to read. We're going to read the third key statement. The brother is going to read us the third key statement from that conference. In order for us to be ready, make ourselves ready for the Lord's return, we need to enjoy him as our spiritual food so that we may feed others. Though we can enjoy him when we receive his word in all prayer, and when we reflect on his word, which means to enjoy and reflect on his word, over the word. This is the burden of this weekend. We're going to We're going to open this and dive in to see what's in this word. The first numeral, the first Roman numeral one. Who then is the faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is the slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Truly I say to you that he will set him over all his possessions. Who is this? Who is this? I hope that everybody would say it's me. It's me. Who is it, sisters? Who is this, brothers? This is part of the word. The word by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and 25, the Lord himself spoke about his return. It's not another person. It is the Lord himself. The words that he said himself. When he says in Matthew 24 and about slaves and... But we're going to talk about this slave from the perspective of Matthew 24, because this is really related to the emphasis of this on Matthew 24 has a different focus. Matthew 24, there's a slave. This entire portion in Matthew 24 from Matthew 24, 45 through 51 speaks about two types of slaves. Why are there two types of slaves here? We're going to see why. These two slaves are believers, because the Lord at this time is speaking to the church. In the previous verses, he was speaking to the people of Israel. At 45, he was turning to the church. He was speaking to the saints. So don't think that here the slave of prudent and faithful slave, it's a non-believer, because the two types of slaves are saved believers. How can we say that? Because the Lord himself, the Lord decided that, and also the slave called the Lord, and also because he knew, he believed that the Lord was coming back. So we know that these slaves are believers. The Lord is speaking to us regarding his return. And he's speaking to us regarding a matter of the service, because a slave is one who serves. But we're not going to talk about service itself today, but we're going to relate the service of the slave with the Lord's coming and with his economy. And that is what will be most revealing in this outline, to relate and our service with his coming. And in first Roman numeral one, we have 3 points that we're going to. First, he shows the characteristics of this first slave. The first one is that he has to be faithful to God. This slave, he also has to be prudent. That comes from wisdom. Later on, we're going to see this develop further. He's faithful to God and prudent to the saints in his household, in the church. That's the first that we see here. The characteristics of this faithful and prudent slave. The second thing we see here is what charge the Lord gave him. Did he ask him to put him over his household? And his household is the church. He put him over the church so that he would feed his household. Whoa. Why did he put him over his household? So that he will feed his believer. I'm going to ask you, and I want you to answer. Why did he put him over his house? Because to feed his believers. If you forget everything today, I just want you to remember. You're going to remember. And you're going to remember and say that the even if you forget everything, you're going to remember that you are a slave of God, and that your responsibility is to feed those believers. This is we need to also, so that the point is that we will feed his believers, to give dispensing Christ as food to his believers. If you catch this word, this is enough for the entire outlook. We prepare ourselves for the Lord's return. We can feed others. Each member of the body of Christ has the normal capacity to shepherd others, to feed others. He has the capacity to grow. It also has the capacity to feed others. And the last thing is that there is a reward. Blessed is the slave that he will be set over all his riches. There's these characteristics. There's also a charge for the slave, and he will have a reward. Letter A. The sisters may read together. God's economy in faith. In his household economy, his household administration, which is to dispense himself in Christ into his chosen people, that he may have a house to express himself, which house is the church, the body of Christ. Amen. God has an economy. This first point, it has this, the economy of God. In this universe, the first is God. The first thing is God, and this is the triune God. And the second thing is his economy. This is what was spoken in the life study of Ruth. And page 23, I remember page 23 because it completely it caught my attention. The first thing in the universe is his economy. The second, his administration. And there is nothing else after that. We need to pay most attention to the economy of God. We need to be those that live in the sphere of God's economy, that we may live to feed those are in his household. If you open the word, When you open the word, you will see this also in Genesis 1 that you see God. You see God. In the beginning was God. And the second thing that we see there, he's speaking, he spoke. He, through his speaking, everything else came into being. And his speaking is his word. And his word is embodied in the Bible. So all the entire Bible is a book on the God's economy. We love God's economy. How wonderful that he has revealed to us that he has an economy. And the Bible speaks of this economy from the beginning to the end. And this economy, which it can be received and can be put into practice through faith. And this economy is his household economy, his household administration. For what? For what purpose? Two, it's in order to feed or give food to the members of his household. Cows or household also be translated as family. We see the things here from so many saints from different areas, and they all hear with their open mouth open to receive the feeding. But after you leave from here, you are going to God wants to feed this family, and that he is the food himself. He already did his part. What is his part? He passed through all this process. He started with his incarnation so that he will live a precious human life. With such a high human living and balance, he entered into death at his due time, but he didn't stay there, but he rose up in victory. He rose in this kind of he also entered into ascension, that all transcending ascension as the all-inclusive Christ. This whole process is that he may become the all-inclusive Christ. And this is all, this spirit, it is embodied in the word. This is the second big point that we can see tonight, that the spirit is in the word. And the word, we need to eat the word, to touch the word, is to feed us from the spirit. All the nutrition or the food that we need is in the word. We need to be those who first feed on the word so that we may be able to feed others. God has this great family. And for that, he has set us. Set us as faithful and prudent slaves. These slaves have another responsibility. It's like a faithful and prudent slave is also a steward in God's house. And this steward is a household administrator. Who's dispensing Christ as food to his believers. Think about this word steward. This faithful and prudent slave is also when he sets this economy in one of the saints. This saint becomes a steward and who administers all the riches and then distribute them to other saints as a responsibility. This word, economy, is the same word that is same as stewardship. From the Greek word oikonomia, oikonomia The last time that I was here, I gave you a short testimony about this word, that this word just impressed me to a degree that from the time I heard October 28th in 1964, on a Saturday morning, I heard these saints that came to share this word. We were on the beach and they started to pray, Lord, that you are the God, and then started praying about God's economy. And I was like, what is this? What is this God process and economy? I ran home and opened the dictionary and I looked it up in Ephesians 1:10, oikonomia, 1 Timothy, oikonomia, it's economy. And then I said, I want to know more about this economy. But I was introduced into this realization that for God to carry out his economy, he needs stewards. When it is in God, it is his economy. We have brand new markers in this conference, so we're going to use them. The word economia or economy, stewardship is mayordomia, is stewardship. When it is in God, God is oikonomos, he is Ephesians 1:10, Ephesians 3:9, 1 Timothy 1:4, we're going to pay attention to his economy in these verses, but this economy is trusted into the stewardship, to the stewards. So, and whose responsibility is to feed the other believers. And then for this, we have Ephesians 3:2. In Ephesians 3:2. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God, God has a lot of grace to give out, which was given to me for you. The stewardship of the grace of God was given to me. God gave it to me. I eat it, I breathe it, I drink it, but it's not just for me. My growth, my experience, my maturity is for you. It's for you. I mean, who are you? You are a steward. It was you. Who are you? Who are you? You are a stewardship. Who are you? You are a steward. It was given to me for you. This grace, this stewardship was given to me for you. Dear saints, all of us can participate in this economy. 1 Peter 2:4:10, it says that each one, according to the gift given, minister others. This is what it means. This is what it means when it was given to me for you. This is what the steward is busy managing. Are our eyes being open? Are we being encouraged that we may await the Lord's coming? Getting ourselves ready in this way to be this slave that give others, which was given to me. I first consume it, I drink it, I breathe it, I breathe it. I have something to bring to the meetings. Whatever the meetings of the church you go to, you must bring some food. This is where we're going. Every meeting you have to bring some food. Depending, you know, in Song of Songs, Song of Songs 4:11, that he says that in that you have food to minister to some new saints or just saints in general. Roman numeral 1. Believers. Yes. Oh Lord. This faithful servant is faithful to the Lord first, and this is really according to his mercy, because there is not even a trace of faithfulness in us. But the more we are feeding on the faithful one, we are also spontaneously going to take the way of being faithful, because God is faithful. We are feeding on God's faithfulness. This is in one of the Psalms. And we are faithful. This is why he has shown mercy, that we might be faithful. 2 Chronicles 1:10. It says 2 Chronicles 1:10. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. This was a prayer also that the brother Lee had prayed. This type of prayer, when we pray it, it becomes the prudence when we are going to feed others, because not all saints eat the same food. I mean, some people like broccoli and some people don't. So we need to be wise enough to give the food that at that age is prudent. You can't tell a two-year-old to call on the name of the Lord, because you're damaging. This is as far as I will go with that. The wisdom is in God. It's very subjective. When that wisdom is applied, becomes prudence. In Ephesians 3:8, prudence is wisdom applied to feed the saints. Letter C. We're going to go right to a key point in this message. This is at the heart of this outline. Let's read together. Give them food refers to ministering the word of God and Christ as a life supply to the believers in the church. Christ as the life-giving spirit is our food, embodied and realized in the word of life. So what is the type of food that we're going to feed the saints? How is this type of food served? First, I need to be fed myself. a nursing mother first needs to take the right nutrition in order to be able to feed her baby. The first thing that comes out of a nursing mother is colostrum, and then after that milk starts to flow to feed a baby. We first need to be properly nourished to feed others. So then what are we feeding? We feed ourselves by the word of God and Christ. This is the ministering of life that the saints need in the church. On the one hand, I need this type of ministering in order to serve the saints. And this minister is Christ as the life-giving spirit that is embodied and realized in the word of life. Now, from this point on, we are going to see our own need to be fed appropriately first by going to the word of God, by going to the word of Christ, and to go and enjoy and muse and eat and digest the word as the truth. This weekend, we're speaking the truth. The food that we have brought is the truth. This truth is in the word. This truth is in the word of life. First, we have the written word. As in Greek, is logos. But when we go to it, when we read it, to read the Bible is not enough. Even you should just stop reading the Bible. But let me explain this, what I mean by that. We're going to learn how to touch the Bible, right? Not just reading. You may read it, but you need to, you read the Bible, but with the intention of touching the Bible. The word is a person, and it is the life-giving spirit. This is the embodiment of the spirit. Embodied is the word of God. We need to come to the word, to touch the word with our exercise spirit. What results in that touching of the word? We are fed by this. That we may be fed by the healthy words of the Bible. Paul told Timothy, you will be a minister if you are fed by the words of with the healthy teaching, the healthy word, which is the truth himself. So we need to be those prayers, faithful and prudent slaves, to not just come to the word to read it, but to touch the word. Maybe we can elaborate this topic, but let's just pray to say, Lord, I want to touch the person of this book. When we go to this book, you need to come to the person of this book. Like the Lord said in John said, when the Lord said in the book of John, it says, you go to the book to search the scriptures, but you don't come to me. You don't come to me, and I am the living word. When the living word is met with the written word, there is nutrition. We are nourished. We need to seek this experience. We need to read the Bible, to touch the Bible, to touch the person, and to eat the person, to eat the Lord. Sometimes to speak this word is a kind of a little strange and some kind of hard to understand. But the truth is that we can eat the Lord. Now, I want to tell this brother that you need to John 6:57. We know this portion. We know this portion well. In John 5:57, that God has sent me, and I live because of the living God, because I live because of the Father. He lived because of the Father. He lived because of the Father. The Son lived because based on what he ate. It's not about just what you eat. You are what you eat, but you are what you eat, what you digest, and what you assimilate. When we eat the word and we digest the word, we're going to see how we're going to digest it and then assimilate the word. When the nutrition or the when what we eat gets digested and assimilated, it feeds our entire being. This is the same way that the Lord can eat. See, he who eats me, he will also live because of me. I eat the Father, you eat the Son, and you live because of the Son, because you eat the Lord in the Word. We have a spiritual stomach, which is our spiritual. We have three stomachs, but our mingled spirit is to digest these the Word from the Lord. So we see that God gave us this man that we may eat him. Well, and we may say that we say, well, God gave us his Son that he may redeem us because we were sinners and we were filthy, but he was the judicial redeemer, but now we may eat him. So this is to say this is not wrong. He gave us a man that we may eat him, that we may live because of him, that we may feed others. This is our stewardship. This Son was given to me that we may be able to feed others and bring it to every meeting and to every encounter. Even the greeting, even the way we greet the other saints could be a type of feeding. If we are one with the Lord, if we are living in this realm, seeking the Lord, how does the Lord wants to say hello to one of the saints? Maybe the saint is a little sad, and my greeting, and if my greeting, even just hello, goes with a special feeding, and what sometimes I say, whatever we say may carry Christ, depends on whether is from the Lord. May the Lord give a type of we first need to eat this type of food. We're going to see six ways how we can enjoy the Lord as a food, as a spiritual food. How we may be supplied by the saints. We're going to start with number one. In order to enjoy the Lord as spiritual food so that we can feed others, we need to receive his word by means of all prayer. By all prayer. either all types of prayers, short, long, standing, driving, lying down, maybe rowing a boat, or with doesn't matter. It's in all prayer. And by musing on his word, speaking his word aloud with much reconsideration, to reflect or muse on his word. Maybe this phrase is new to some of the saints. We are seeking the nutritional food when we muse on the word. This phrase, muse, is in Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, 15, that says, I will muse upon your precepts. What does it say? 119, 15 says, I will muse upon your precepts and regard your, I will muse your precepts. I think another translation talks about meditate. In it, you know, muse versus meditate. It is a type of meditation, but it's a type of meditation and reflection. It is more than meditate. It is, maybe it's like think about the Lord. It's not that. It's not just to think about it. It's more than that. We're gonna see the Holy Bible in recovery. There's a comment on the word muse. This word muse is such a rich in meaning. The Greek word is to muse. It implies, first of all, to praise, to converse with oneself, and to speak out loud. To reflect on the word is to enjoy it, is to enjoy by a careful consideration, is to pray, is to converse, speak with the Lord. This also is part of reflecting on the Lord. To reflect, it is to enjoy this word as your food. And by this be that we may receive spiritual food. This is the first way to enjoy the Lord as food. By the word, coming to the word, that's what I said before, to come to the word, but to touch the person of the word in order to reflect and muse over the word. We're going to take this verse, even in Acts 6:4. We say that we to be steadfast in a prayer. I pray. I take the word to speak to myself. This is a big difference of when you just read. When you read it in a quietly or in a loud. Don't think about what others may think. So there's a lot of people that talk to themselves outside. Nobody says anything. Don't worry. But maybe they don't know what they're doing, but I know what I'm doing. I'm feeding and musing on the word of life that is food for myself. This is, and to have food for the saints. And Psalms 119:48, that I will raise my hands to your commandments, to receive your commandment, your commandments in a warm way, musing on your word in this way. This is how we feed ourselves. He also there is a portion in Ezekiel 3:1-4 that says, he says, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your inward parts with this scroll that I am giving you. Scroll, feed your stomach and fill your inward parts with this scroll that I am giving you. And I ate it, and it was like honey in my mouth in its sweetness. How do we get ourselves ready? Feed, see, and speak. Going to the meeting with the saints, even with the non-believers, they also need to get some food. The kind of food that they put salvation in their hearts. Eat, but you first have to eat. Otherwise, you have nothing. You have nothing to say. What are you going to say? You have nothing to say. Maybe you're going you maybe you know talk about the weather, that's the snow, the rain, maybe just empty talk. But if we eat Christ, we speak Christ. When I go to you, I don't want to know. I want nothing but Christ on crucified. This is the Christ crucified that I want to hear about. I don't want to hear anything else. Just eat. Eat this. Eat and go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. If you go to the house, here's a saying that eats, sees, and speaks. This in this way, we are getting ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. In order for ha to have this type of exercise, we need to be persevere in prayer. Prayer is very important. When we pray, we receive the strength in our inner being, because so that we may speak what we have eaten, that we may speak this word to the saints. We're going to talk about prophesying later on. Number three, we need to prophesy to build up the church. This is to speaking what we see with the living words of this life under the instant and fresh inspiration, anointing, and enlightenment of the Holy Spirit through the exercise of our spirit. When we prophesy, to prophesy is the highest speaking. This is one of the gifts that directly builds up the Christ, builds up the church. There's a lot of speaking. There is a lot of speaking in the meetings, but this is the highest type of speaking because it has all these ingredients. He has the word of God, the word of Christ. He has our experience of that word. He has our vision of God's economy and the environment, even among those who will receive our prophesying. These are living words with our inner exercise of our spirit. We all need to prophesy because this is a way to feed the saint. The body receives the speaking, and the body grows. The body that's edit the well-nourished body is an edified, a built-up body. We still need to first need to eat the scroll, like in Ezekiel, so that we may be speak the words of this life. But To prophesy is not to speak anything. It's to speak. There's a divine speaking. He's a speaking. It transfuses the divine speaking of what we have eaten. Therefore, each one of us needs to that learns how to prophesy for the building up of the body. It's not just any kind of talk, any kind of speaking. I've been in some of the meetings that maybe there's some of the saints just start to speak, just, you know, speak anything or to read anything. In one sense, that's really not prophesying. Or you know, some, well, maybe, in Acts 6:4, but we will continue steadfastly in prayer in the ministry of word, Acts 6:4. This ministry has given us a lot of tools to eat the word, to feed on the word appropriately, and the word of Christ. And one of those tools is the holy word for morning revival. That's one of the tools. And if you open that book, and if you read the preface, you read that preface. Why? Because it puts in our hands the type of food to reflect. But I want to read to you, this book is published as a tool that help to help believers to develop the habit to spend time holy revival with the Lord in his word. This is to touch the word. This is to read it, to touch it. And when we touch the word and we exercise ourselves on this word and to speak the word to ourselves, to chew on the word, we can speak out the what we ourselves had been ministered. Let's not discard this kind of tool. What the saints want is that we feed them. I want all to consider this. It's not the tool. It's not the tool that builds up, but it's the word that you speak. It's this is the word that when you are so fed, well fed, naturally is what comes. You can naturally feed all the saints. Let us prophesy. This is very amazing. In Joshua, in Numbers 11, he said, Moses, they are prophesying. Why don't you stop them? Stop them. And what did Moses say? I just wish that the entire people of Israel would be prophets. Joshua was well adjusted in that moment. Moses revealed the heart of the Lord, that God is looking to have stewardship that are faithful and prudent, that will feed others in all kinds of meetings. That was Moses in Numbers 11. And then we follow Paul in the New Testament economy. And he said, tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:31 that says, because, you know, maybe these saints, can these saints be, they can prophesy, because all can prophesy, all can prophesy. Paul said this. God needs these saints faithful, prudent, and by prophesying, being fully nourished in the word, you may feed others with this kind of living word to build up the church. Amen. Number four, we need to pray ourselves into God to receive the life-giving spirit as our supply, our spiritual food, to feed ourselves and those who are under our care. And here we're going to see a portion in Luke 11. In Luke 11, we see how to enter into God by means of prayer. We need to enter into God through prayer. Before the meeting, we went to pray, and we enter into God through the prayer. How do we know? Because we became other people. When you pray, you become other people. You felt minister fed. You feel full, and the food is God, the spirit of the life giving spirit himself. In Luke 11, it says that Jesus was praying, and the disciples came to ask, "Please teach us how to pray." And the Lord taught him how to pray. And he said to them that we pray, ask them to forgive their sins, because we also forgive everyone indebted to us. This is God. Show them how to enter into God. To enter into his ministry that we may give to feed the saints. If you read or you pray this word, this prayer, Lord, forgive us our sins, and we also forgive others. If you spend time on the Holy Word for morning revival, you will be in the high heavens, and then you go to breakfast, and the pancakes are burned. So all of a sudden, and then what do you do at that point? Thank you, Lord, that I can forgive others as you have forgiven me. If you have maybe you know, you come because you have been fed by the Spirit, you can just even say, thank you, sister, these are the best pancakes I've ever had. And then you have a way to shepherd others. Later on, you see, and it says, give me three. He says to him, friend, lend me three loaves. And then he goes and says in verse 11, says, what father among you, son, asks for a fish, will instead of a fish hand him a snake? Or if he asks him for an egg, will hand him a scorpion? Or if you, being evil, how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father who is from heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. When we enter into this kind of realm, and we are receiving the God's Spirit, you receive the actual bread, the fish, the egg. You receive the riches. And you receive all the riches of the sea. The egg is the riches of the earth and the air. And the spirit is the totality of all the riches, representing what you see in this prayer. We need to enter into God being filled. We need to come into Lord praying to feed others. And now in number 5, we say we need to be the life-giving askers, those who ask. If this is the result, the church advances, is being built up. We are the askers, channels of the life-giving spirit who can give life to others. This is very interesting, the portion that we read in 1 John 5:16. 1 John 5:16, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin, not unto death, he shall ask him, will this person just spread gossip or judge or condemn? No. If you do that, then the spirit will kind of leak out of you. But we need, instead, if you see his brother sinning a sin unto death, he shall ask. If you turn into an ask, he shall ask, and he will give him life to him. Who will be those who ask that he will give life to him? That means that we become a life-giving spirit. When we enter into God's praying, we will receive the spirit as the totality of the riches, that we may become the life-giving spirit to others, because we give that life to others. Don't think I have a brand new revelation. This is all. It's if we receive the life-giving spirit through prayer, when we see the saints, we see the need of the saints, we become in the askers of life, that we may in due time give life, give food to the saints. The condition of the saints may not be the same. What do they need? They need feed. We need food. They need life. Then number 6, we need to be sons of fresh oil, those who are continually being filled with the fresh and present. This is the last way to become this servant, faithful and prudent. We need to be sons of fresh oil, those who are continually being filled with the fresh, present, and consummated spirit as the oil of gladness. I mean, to flow out the spirit into the lampstands for its shining testimony, the testimony of Jesus. And here we see in Zechariah, we see two supplies of this type of oil that will supply to the lampstand. We need to be those sons of the that supply fresh oil to the lampstand wherever you are, in what kind of, depending wherever you are, in what kind of in the church, in what kind of locality you are, what kind of church. He's going to return as a son of fresh oil to minister to the saints in the church. And then the lampstand will shine, will be a shining testimony. Amen. Then we're going to move on. Rule numeral two, the other type of slave that the other portion that follows in Matthew 24, 48 to 51, this is the other type of slave who is not faithful or prudent, is a faithful who's evil. So it says, but if the evil slave says in his heart, my master delays and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eats and drinks with the drunken, and the master of the slave will come on a day and he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know, and will cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be the weeping and the gnashing of the teeth. A lot of self-blame. That will be the result. Then there is a warning here. Dear saints, this is a warning to not be this evil slave. Instead, we tell the Lord, come, Lord, and look at the characteristics of this evil slave. Look at what he does. He says, letter A, he says his attitude. And the other two letters, you're going to see the other works in that he gets involved, this evil slave. So starting with A, to say in our heart that our master delays. How could you say that our Lord delays? If the Lord repeatedly say, you know, I'm coming soon. The Lord has said repeatedly, I will come soon. This conference is hastening the return of the Lord. This conference is getting the Lord back here faster. We can't say that he delays. He knows why. In the book of Revelation, he says, I come quickly. Three times he says that in Revelations 20 and 22, he says, I come quickly. And we need to be those that hasten the Lord's return. Lord, thinking that you are coming back. This, when the Lord comes, he will be the one to decide if we have the reward or not. We need to be those who wait for the Lord. Letter A, to say in our heart that our master delays is to love the present evil age and not to love the Lord's appearing. Why? Because if I don't love the Lord and his appearing, then by default, I am just loving the world. I'm loving this age. Number one, the Greek word for come is parousia, which means presence. To love the Lord's appearing, his coming, we must love his appearing, his presence today. Every day we need to love the Lord's appearing. The Lord's speaking, but we need to be in his presence all the time. Those who are in the sphere of the economy of God, they practice being in both realms. Like these two men were working on the field. One was taken and one was left. Two women were at the mill. One was taken and the other one was left. I don't know. Maybe the one that was taken was enjoying the Lord's presence today. She was enjoying, he was grounding the wheat in the presence of God. It is the only way. We, of course, we are busy with work, but we should learn to enjoy the Lord's presence in that moment, in this reference. Hymn 389. It's written by Watchman Nee. He used to live in the presence of God, not only loving the Lord, but also he lived in his presence. This is possible if we practice to live in his presence. Then in his coming, we will enjoy his presence with major intensity. We will realize that he is here. It will not be strange for us, dear saints. In this hymn 389, stanza 1, Brother Ni wrote this in Chinese. This one, he says, Lord Jesus, I long in thy presence to live. I long in your presence to live. Is this our desire, our longing? And I long in thy presence to live. Since the sun shines until the sun rises, there is no other. I am speaking about this word. This was our brother's desire. This was our to live in his presence. In stanza 4, it says, each time of the heavenly blessings, I think, my only hope that in thy coming again, I, Lord, teach me each day in thy presence to live. Teach me, Lord, each day to, in thy presence to live. And from morning to evening, my one world thou art, in this way is that we can be ready for the Lord's return. His presence is our food. You're not going to go outside and just look up the sky. You need to go to the Word, in the Word. Yeah, don't think that you can just go and look at the sky or the clouds to receive the Lord's presence. It's the Word that brings us to the presence of God, and there's always light in the Word. May we be those who declare and express, oh Lord Jesus, I long to live in your presence, that I may remain in your presence. Number three. Three together. We need to watch and be ready for his coming. We need to watch and be ready for his coming. In Matthew 25, why do we have to match? Why do we need to watch? Because we don't know the hour or the day. Not even the Son of God knows the time. We need to know the category, the subcategory. What is the feeling of this hymn? We need to study them in this way so that we can call the hymns in the Middle East. It's in the category of encouragement. It's in the subcategory for watching, and it's a 666 in. This is the only 666 that is a wonderful. I'm going to read a literal translation of this hymn, because the Brother Lee wanted to impart this type of need to watch. And each stanza starts with the word at watch, and each stanza has 8 lines, so 8 times, whereas 8 times 3 has 24 watch phrases. To be a steward that is feeding the saints, a steward that is feeding the saints is one who watches, because the night is ending and watch, and the world does not seek and watch, because the day is dawning. Watch, think not in sleep. Watch, for the Lord is coming. Watch for the foe's attack. Watch, for the Lord is waiting. Watch, be never slack. That's the last line. Second stanza, watch and arise in service. Watch, though the day be drear. Be drear. Who has had a depressing day? Lord Jesus, I long to be in your presence in this depressing day. Then you get yourself out of this realm of depression or depressing, and enter into a positive realm. Then watch and go forth to labor. Watch, the end is near. Watch and put your thigh armor. Watch with the spirit strong. Watch to resist the devil. Watch, the Christ comes there long. Then the third stanza, watch for the Savior's coming. Watch for the morning star. Watch and pursue the kingdom. Watch with many a scar. There's a lot of things that leave scars in us. Don't worry, just watch. Don't pay attention to your scars. Watch and be ever watchful. Watch till the night is done, and watch till the Lord shall come. Watch till the dawn of glory. Watch till the Lord shall come. We need to watch and be ready for the Lord's return. Amen. Number six, we need to be watchful. Every time that the word speaks of to be watchful, it also speaks of praying. You have to be watchful and watch and pray. You have to watch with an attitude of prayer. Even if you're busy with your daily affairs, you need to watch and be so that the Lord's return does not come by surprise. Like in Luke 21, that's full of warning. I was very moved in Luke 21 that in Luke 21, it said, Luke 21:31-36. It says, do not, but take heed to yourselves, lest perhaps your hearts be weighed down with the debauchery and drunkenness, with the anxieties of life, and that day come upon you suddenly as a snare. Roman number 7, it says, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. This should be the longing. This should be the longing, the cry, and constant prayer to those who love the Lord's and His appearing. This should be our attitude. It shouldn't be the attitude of the evil spirit. There's something that we need to see in this section just quickly. These are the negative actions of this evil. To beat our fellow slaves is to mistreat fellow believers. It says we should not judge and condemn our fellow believers, but be kind to them. Don't judge, don't condemn, don't criticize, don't revile, don't complain. All of those things are keys that open the doors of Hades. But he said that the doors of Hades won't prevail. But doesn't mean that we know that it won't prevail, but it doesn't mean that they won't try. We're not here to judge the saints or condemn the saints. Not even to condemn anyone or to revile or criticize our brothers, but to consider them are excellent, and we should consider them more excellent than ourselves. This is a humble heart, that you also consider yourselves lower than the other saints. One that doesn't fight for your own things. I would love to read a portion that is, it is in a publication called the Normal Way to carry out shepherding and bearing fruit in order to build the church. The brother shares, we should not be involved in any kind of negative conversation. We should not be a garbage can. For the flies love the dirty places, but we should be clean and even sterilized. when we visit people, we should not, if we don't do it in a clean way, and or if we contaminate it with germs, then we would encourage them to open up to us in a wrong way. Maybe they will open up their tombs and let death out. We shouldn't ask any questions about negative matters. We need to be in a different realm. We need to be in a different realm. So then our mouth has food, doesn't have judgment, don't complain about anyone. We need to keep ourselves to feed others. Roman number 3, we should not lord it over our fellow believers, such as making decisions for them, but serve them as a slave to feed them with the resurrected Christ as a living and life-giving spirit. Paul said to those that take care of the church, I'm sorry, Peter said to those that care for the church, not to lord it over them, but by being examples to them. All of us, we need to be examples to the saints, not to lord it over anyone. Don't make decisions for others. Just pray. Somebody come to you and ask, what do? We need to pray. We need to go to the head. I am not the head. To tell others what to do is to usurp the authority of Christ, of Christ as the head. It's to put ourselves as the head. And that's in this same publication says, do not make decisions for others. Never should make decisions for others. If to stay, to do this is to consider ourselves higher than them. We don't be honest with those who are under our care, but we need to allow the Lord to constrain us that we may not make decisions for them. Never should we let them feel the ones that we care for that we are obligating them to do anything. We need to be, God never obligated anyone to do anything, but he gave them the freedom to choose. God is a gentleman from the beginning. Adam was able to choose. We shouldn't compel other people with what is our opinion. In our shepherding, we should avoid compelling or convincing others. We need to allow others to choose freely. Lord Jesus, dear saints, don't beat our fellow slaves, telling them what to do. In point C, it says to eat and drink with the drunken is to keep company with the worldly people who are drunk with worldly things. Because of their divine nature and holy standing, the believers should not be yoked together with the unbelievers. It should be applied to all the intimate relationships between believers and unbelievers, not only to marriage and business. We need to be watchful with whom we spend time. Remember, if remember that the marriage is of God, if you are looking for a partner, you're looking for a partner within the children of God. You can yoke, you can if he said that you know to marry strange women will be like a sword to your side or a thorn in your eye. We should not profane the body, the temple of God, by the joining in matrimony. We should flee youthful lust and pursue the all-inclusive Christ with all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. The faithful and prudent slave will be rewarded with the authority to rule in the manifestation of the kingdom, whereas the evil slave will be cut off from the glorious Christ, from the glory of his glory, and from his glorious presence in his kingdom. We should be on our way on the way to reign with Christ to the nations. This will be the reward to his faithful and prudent slaves. May the Lord be righteous, and may he inscribe in our heart this warning that we have received. Let's pray two by two, and then the saints, the brothers will tell us what is next in the next 12 minutes. Amen.